My name is Alan Morse. I'm from Perry, Kansas. I'm going to be talking to you today and teaching what I call the Gospel Explained. Now, what we're talking about, this is part three. I've gone through one and two and three. And what I'm talking about is we're going to deal with the third part of the Gospel. The first part of the Gospel, that Christ died for our sins. And the second, he was buried. And today we're going to be talking about that he rose again on the third day. That he rose again on the third day. Christ arose from the dead. But before we talk about that, we're going to go over this gospel one more time. I believe that there could be new people listening to this. And this is the most important verse. And you've heard me say this time and time again, and you'll continue, because there's no more important verse in this whole Bible dealing with the church. And we are the church, and this is our salvation. It isn't what the world tells you your salvation is. This is what Jesus tells you what your salvation is. Now, Paul is writing this to the Corinthian church, and these churches that Paul wrote to, every one of them were grounded in the gospel. From Romans all the way to Philemon, all of his epistles, these people were grounded in the gospel. That's all he taught was the gospel. He said, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation for those that believe. Believe what? The gospel. When Paul talks about belief, he's talking about believing the gospel. When he's talking about having faith, he's talking to have faith in the gospel. Because the gospel is the only way that a person can be saved. We start with 15. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. Not a gospel, the gospel. For which I preached unto you, which you've also received, and which you stand. These folks all believe the gospel. He says, by which also you are saved. This is tremendously important. Why do we believe the gospel? Because it's our salvation. We are saved by it. And that's what we're looking for, isn't it? We're looking to know for sure that we're going to be saved when we die. Well, you're looking at it right now. This is the gospel. It says, if you keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless you have been believed in vain. You see, this belief you have, this is a heart belief, not a head belief. I had a head belief. I always believed the gospel, the parts of the gospel. I always believed that Jesus died, and I always believed that he was buried, and that he rose from the dead. But my whole life, my salvation was based on believing in Jesus for my salvation. And that's not the gospel. So you have to believe the gospel. It says, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I received. He received this gospel directly from the Lord Jesus Christ. That Christ died for our sins according to Scriptures. And that he was buried and that he rose on the third day according to Scriptures. That's the gospel. Now we're going to be talking about that he arose from the dead. He arose from the dead. Let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, right where we're at. And we're just going to look down here at verses 5. Okay, I'm going to start at 4. And he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day, according to Scriptures. And that he was seen of Cephas, that's Peter, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of about 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present time, but some have fallen asleep. You see, when he was writing this, a large percent of these people that had seen him were still alive. Some of them have already died. After that, he was seen by James, then all the apostles, and the last of all, he was seen of me. This is Paul writing this. Also, as the one born out of due time. He was seen of Paul. The idea that the people had to know that he rose from the dead, and he has plenty of witnesses here. And you know, a lot of people think that he didn't raise from the dead, But you see, if Christ hadn't raised from the dead, that would mean that God didn't accept His sacrifice for our sins, and we'd still be in our sins, because the sin debt would not have been paid for. But He did rise from the dead, meaning that God accepted it, this payment, His death on that cross, the payment of our sins. So that's how we can say, hallelujah, He did raise from the dead. And His raising from the dead is tremendously important, because if He didn't raise, we'd still be in our sins. Let's turn to Matthew. We're going back to the left. Matthew, the first of the four Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew 28, verses 1 through 10. It says, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began at dawn, toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, and the angel of the Lord descended from heaven, and it came and rolled back the stone from the door and set upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for the fear of him, the keepers did shake, and they became as dead." These were the guards that were on the tomb. They were supposed to guard it. They just totally became like dead people. Dead men, it says here. "And the angels answered and said unto the women, Fear not, for I know that you seek Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen. And he said, Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he had risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth and before you into Galilee, and there shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and with great joy, and did run to bring the disciples word. As they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. And then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid, go tell my brethren that they go to Galilee, and they shall see me. Now then they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they had assembled the elders and had taken counsel, they gave much money unto the soldiers." See, they paid the soldiers off, so because they wanted to tell them that something different, you know, how they got away, you know, saying, "His disciples came by night and stole them." And it goes on, but what we see here is that Jesus arose from the dead. Now let's see what Luke says about it. We're looking at Luke 24. Matthew, Mark, Luke, verses 24. And let's look at 33. "And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together, and those who were with him, saying, The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done along the way, and how he had known to them in the breaking of bread. And as they thus spoke, Jesus himself stood in their midst, and to them saith unto them, Peace be to you. And they were terrified and frightened, and supposed that he was a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are you troubled? Why do you thoughts arise in your heart? Behold my hands and my feet, and myself handle me, and see, for a spirit hath no flesh and bones, as you see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have you anything to eat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and honeycomb, and he took it and did eat of it." You see, disciples were in the upper room, and they were scared to death. And they had the doors all locked because they didn't know that maybe they would be the next one that the Jews would take out and crucify. And all of a sudden, there was Jesus. I mean, he was just there. You know, he had a new body, and it was a glorified body. And it's a body that we're going to have like that someday. But it just totally scared them to death. They couldn't understand. Let's look at what John says about it. Just look at John chapter 20. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and right next to it, John chapter 20. John chapter 20, and we're going to start at verse 1. And the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, and when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, seeing that the stone had been taken away from the sepulchre, she ran and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciples whom Jesus loved, and said to them, they have taken my Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and the other disciples came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And stooping down, he looked, and he saw the linen cloths lying there, yet when he did not go in. But when Simon came, following him, he went into the sepulchre, and seeing the linen clothes lying there, and the cloth was above his head, not lying with the linen cloth, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then when it also that the other disciples who came first to the sepulchre saw and believed, as yet they had not known the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Back to the right, through Acts, Romans, and we get to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And to start at verse 5. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we look at verse 5 through 10. And we've reread this, but he will read it again. And then he was seen of Cephas, and then of the 12. And after that he was seen above the 500 brethren. Once the great part remained unto his present time, but some had fallen asleep. And then after that he was seen of James and of all the apostles. The last of all, he was seen of me, one born out of time. He was seen by all these people. Now let's turn to Romans. Go back to Romans to the left, and we'll look at Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, and we're going to look at 4 and 5. Romans 6, verses 4. Therefore, we are buried with him in baptism unto death, that as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. What he's saying there is that when we believe the gospel and we believe that Jesus died on the cross for us, that he died for our sins, we believe that old sin nature that we have also died. And when he was buried, we believe that old sin nature was also buried. But then when we rose from the dead, we rose in glory like Jesus, because we don't have that old sin nature bothering us anymore. We ourselves declare it to be dead. And it's just fantastic, because then we know that we have the Holy Spirit in us to guide and direct us the rest of our life. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, then Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 12, I think it is, through 14. It says, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. in whom we also trusted after we heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation. For after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption, for the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Look what it really is saying. It says, in whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth. What is the word of truth? The gospel of your salvation. In whom also after you believed what? The gospel, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And this is what happens when we believe the gospel. But what we're getting to is, we're going to go to Romans chapter 8. We go back to Romans. We go through Ephesians, we go through 1st and 2nd Corinthians, then we're in Romans. Old Romans chapter 8. And we'll show you why I use that verse. Romans chapter 8. Okay, when Christ died on that cross, he was raised by the Holy Spirit. It says, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwelleth in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also give life to your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. What he's saying is that the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, if we believe the gospel, and we just saw that, when we believe the gospel, we are sealed with the Spirit. And that same Spirit that is in us now is the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. And that Spirit now dwells in our mortal bodies and will raise us up at the resurrection. The same Spirit. How wonderful that is. Think about that. The second you believe the gospel, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. And that same Spirit you're sealed with is the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. That's what we're talking about. He rose again. But that same Spirit that rose Christ from the dead now lives in us. And that when we die, our body will go to the grave. Our soul and spirit will go directly to heaven. But at the resurrection, that Spirit that's in us, that was in Christ, that rose Christ from the dead, will raise us also. What a wonderful, wonderful promise that we have. It's just fantastic. It's beyond our imagination. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 6. Go up just one more chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 14. It says, and God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise up by his own power. You see, God raised the Lord, but by that same power, he's going to raise us also. That's just verifying Romans 8:11. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 15 again. 1 Corinthians 15 again. And let's go to verse 20. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20. It says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that sleep. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam, all died. When Adam sinned, all died. You see, what happened when Adam sinned? His spirit died. And when his spirit died, he wasn't able to have communication with the Lord. But when also all his offspring were in the same boat, all the people that are walking around today that doesn't know the gospel, they're walking around with a dead spirit in them. It's not really dead, it's just inactive. But you see, when you believe the gospel and you're filled with that Holy Spirit will rejuvenate our spirit. It's just kind of like a battery that went dead, and we put jumper cables on that battery to get it going again. Well, the Holy Spirit, jumper cables are spirit, and it goes again. And then now we can communicate with God's spirit, and we can communicate with God. And so for when Adam all died, even so Christ shall make all alive. So Jesus is going to make the difference, and he, believing in the gospel, will make the difference. That then we will receive that Holy Spirit, and we will all have to be able to communicate with God. Our prayers won't be bouncing off the walls. We'll have a direct communication with God when we believe the gospel, because we have His Spirit in us. You haven't had your prayers answered? You probably haven't believed the gospel for your salvation. Because, see, God can't hear you, because your spirit is dead. You have no way to communicate with Him. And so many, the church today, there's so many people that have thinking that they've been saved their whole life, but they struggle, totally struggle all the time. They struggle to go to church. They struggle to live on this life, because they just don't have any prayer life. It wouldn't make any difference if they did. They couldn't talk to God. Their mind is closed. They can't understand the Word of God, and it's just a struggle for people that don't know the gospel, because if you don't have the gospel, you don't know the gospel, you do not have the Holy Spirit in you, and you're not saved. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19. And when it is exceedingly greatness in His power toward who believed according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ, when He raised Him from the dead and set His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and might and dominions and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in those to come. And He hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over to the church, which is His body, and the fullness of Him that fulfilleth all things. Christ is the head of the body of church that we belong to. And we become a head of the body of church. I mean, we become part of that church when we believe the gospel. And when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we're also baptized in the Holy Spirit and to the body of Christ. And we become a part of the members of the body of Christ. And that church, the body of Christ, is the only church that God's going to take out of this. So when people ask me, who do you belong to, what church do you belong to? I tell them I belong to the body of Christ, because that's the only church that's going to go to heaven. Think about that. Now let's turn to Acts. Let's turn to Acts chapter 10. We're going to go back to the left. Ephesians, 2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, Romans, and then we're going to go to Acts. I'm going to go to Acts chapter 10. I'm going to start on verse 38. Acts 10, 38. Now God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good things and healing all of the oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And so we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. So, and then God raised him up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto the witnesses chosen before God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. After he rose from the dead. You see, he was in his glorious body at this time, but he still ate and drank. You ask what our new body is going to be like? We're going to talk about that in just a few minutes. But he actually walked with these people and he ate with these people. But when he moved about, he just moved about in like lightning, just as fast as you can believe. He just, there he is one minute and there he is another minute. He was in the house 1 minute with them and then he was gone. We'll be able to do that too when we get our glorious body like his. Let's turn to Acts 13. Just go over a few pages. Acts verses 13. Chapter 13, excuse me. Verses 28. 28. And though they found no cause of his death in him, they desired that Pilate, that he should be slain. And then they that fulfilled all these writings of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher. And God raised him from the dead. And he was seen by many days of them who came unto him of Galilee and Jerusalem, and he was a witness to the people. We see that. Now let's turn to Philippians. Back to the right. We're going to go 10 to Philippians. We go to Romans, Corinthians, Colossians. Philippians, just before Colossians. Philippians chapter 3. And we're going to look at verse 20. It says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our lowly bodies, that we may be fashioned like his glorious body, according to the working of by which he is able to subdue all things unto himself." So we're saying that we're going to have a new glorious body, like Jesus' glorious body. And we're going to get that at the resurrection, or we're going to get that or the rapture. And this body will never die, this new body like Jesus. We'll be able to move about from place to place. How wonderful. Let us pray. Father, I pray that everybody here, that you opened up their heart, that they could know the gospel, that they could know that Christ died for them, that he was buried and rose from the dead, and they would believe that for their salvation. And that is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.